I trust everyone had a wonderful Thanksgiving. It's really, in many ways, a great time of the year, better than Christmas, because we get together to do two things, to eat and be with family and friends, and to thank God for all the good things. And Ann and I had the pleasure to go to Colorado to visit our daughter, and she lives up in the Rocky Mountains. And when you fly over the mountains and you know, she's at the base of these ragged peaks, you just can't help but thank God for what a beautiful world he's made. And we are blessed, isn't he, with all the food we have and just the roofs over our head. So there's a lot to be thankful about. Yet it seems like this year, especially the latter half of it, has just been full of trials. And it's so sad to hear of people passing away in the hospital. There's been so many deaths in Salem. A good friend of ours, she died the day before Thanksgiving. And it's just one person after another, it seems like. But you know, for us as Christians, we can even be thankful for that. Because when you have a faith, as we talked about, I hope you remember, hope, we talked about a living hope, that our death is just merely a transition into the real life that we've all been looking forward to. And I used to say, I've not met anyone yet that went to heaven and wanted to come back. Of course, I haven't met anyone that went to heaven and came back. But can you imagine anyone that's in God's glory and basking in his presence to say, yeah, I'd like to go back to that earth? No way. They're so happy. They're so thrilled. They're so rejoicing. And that's where we can find some comfort in that. We're the only ones that are sorrowful because we miss their presence. So I just glad we'd be here. Glad to see you all. And yet I feel sad for those people that are going through trials, because it's tough, isn't it? But there's a solution, and the solution's found in Jesus. And that's why I appreciate that song. There's no not one but Jesus. And Jesus is going to be the source of our comfort and our hope, because he's the one that leads us. And he's eventually going to lead us home. And so we're going to look at really what he offers us in Christ, and this knowledge, and I'm calling this lesson the knowledge of success, because there's a lot of different areas and disciplines of knowledge you can get, but we're talking about the most important one. It's spiritual knowledge. And so I want you to open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 9 through 12. And it'd even be better if someone memorized this text. All of you did. It's a verse that I memorized when I was younger, and I'll explain why in just a little bit, but it's very powerful what Paul is offering here. And I'm going to start by just introducing this whole concept of knowledge, of success. Like, why should I learn anyway? Because, let's be honest, learning can be a lot of work, right? Especially when you got to go to school, and then you got to go to high school, and then you got to go to college, then you got to go to grad school, and if you want to be a medical professional or a doctor or whatever, it's four more years. I just want to do something. I'm tired of all this learning. It's a lot of work. And so a lot of people are going, yeah, why should I learn anymore? Well, let me just ask you a few questions. These are yes or no's, and we're going to test your knowledge. And it's just yes or no. Are these phrases in the Bible? Now, you've heard this one. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Now, that should be answer easy. The answer is no. It's not in the Bible. All right? And it's actually a statement given by John Wesley in 78. How about this one? God helps those that help themselves. Oh, all right. That's good. No. Now, it's a principle that perhaps you might find somewhere, but actually we can see Benjamin Franklin coined something similar to that originally. And it's interesting how people characterize God's word in quippy little statements, and they infiltrate our lives, and a lot of people think, well, they're in the Bible, because we hear them over and over and over and over. How about this one? Spare the rod, spoil the child. Yes or no? Yes. It's not in there. Actually, it says he withholds his rod, hates his son, but he loves and disciplines them diligently. The phrase spoil the rod, or spare the rod, spoil the child, is not in the Bible. All right? It's not there. So you check me out. Some of you will. I hope you do. Okay? How about this one? Money is the root of all evil. This should be easier. You love that one? Who said that? That's very good. It's not money is the root of all evil. It's the love of money. Now you say, well, why are you doing this? Because sometimes we think we know what God has told us and what he wants us to do. And yet we get it totally wrong. And if we get simple things wrong like this, is it possible we get more serious, important matters wrong as well? And there's a direct connection between what you know and how you live. And how you live is directly related to success you're going to have in this life. So I want you to see the connection, because sometimes we don't make that. What you know is going to determine what you do, and to what you do is going to determine how your life turns out. So knowledge, it all begins with that. And that's why we want to learn. Now, here's some practical matters. Education pays. All you need to do is see on this graph is that as your education goes up, so does your income. Statistically, they track this, and it's always the case. A PhD always makes more money than a graduate person or a graduate degree, and then more than a diploma from college, and then more than a high school person. It's always that way. And it goes to the other things. Here's earnings based on degrees and unemployment rate. It's the smallest for those that have a doctorate, and it's the highest that people that have less than a high school diploma. Education pays in the physical world. Now, I'm not saying you gotta go to college, but you gotta get some training. It goes beyond that. Incarceration rate. What does that mean? People that go to jail. It dramatically declines based on the amount of education you got. And you see the chart going down. And likewise, the opposite, people that volunteer and they are involved in civic, the city around them, it increases proportionally to the amount of education they have. It's amazing what education does to a person. It affects how you live. Now, if that's true in the secular world, do you think it's true spiritually? Absolutely. And that's the challenge before us, because we've already studied this in past lessons. Without faith, forget about it. You can't please God. You're not going to be successful in this world walking on this earth. But anyone that comes to him, got to believe that he is. And also, he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. But I got to know what he wants from me in order to seek him according to his terms and not my own. And then we know that, well, I just want to be saved. Well, we've been saved by grace through our faith. So the question we ask is, where does that faith come from? And we answered that last time we were here. I just want to rehearse that so you can see how we're building on these thoughts, so you can understand the importance of seeking God's the knowledge that he has to offer us. We looked in our last lesson that faith cometh by hearing in Romans chapter 10, and by hearing the word of Christ. In other words, the source of our faith is from what God has told us. And I don't say I think, I say I know, because God has spoken. Aren't we thankful that God speaks to us? He's chosen to speak to us, and ultimately through the last prophet, Jesus Christ himself, it all points to Jesus. And he's revealed to us the big questions of life, like why are we here? Where'd we come from? What are we supposed to do? And where are we going? Everybody else in the world is left to figure that out on themselves. But God, our creator, has spoken to us, and he's given the answers to all those questions. So we looked at this chart. When God has spoken, it's the source of our faith, and it's our Bible. He said, well, I want him to talk to us directly. Well, he has through his son. Yeah, it's 2,000 years old, but Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. It's like he just spoke this yesterday. That's the way you have to see it. And that's the source of our faith, because faith comes by hearing, hearing the word. And if you act on what you know, you're going to be always pleasing to God. And the other chart was just as important. The other side, when God has not spoken, it's impossible to have faith. You're left with opinions or doubt or speculation. Remember we talked about people say, well, I think. And when we start thinking for God, we're on treacherous ground, aren't we? When we start speaking for God, well, I think God will do this. And now we're proclaiming what God's going to do when he hasn't told us. And people said, well, couldn't it be? And that's the speculation. And whatever's not of faith, we read, is sin. Because faith only comes from this side of the chart, not from this side. Because when God hasn't spoken, it's impossible to know anything about what he wants you to do. And so that always leads to sin. And so here's my last one. Yes or no? The lion will lay down with the lamb. I want to show hands. Yes? No? Thank you. What's your name? How old are you? 8. Oh, he's the only one that got it right. It's not the lion, it's the wolf will lie down with the lamb. Did you know that? So I'm going to check that out. I dare you to. And I hope you catch me that's wrong. Well, why do we think it's the lion will lay down with the lamb? Because we hear it over and over and over misrepresented. Now, again, if we get something like this, that's really not important to our salvation, is it? But if we can get something simple like this wrong, you think it's easy to get more difficult, challenging things wrong? Absolutely. And the key to your success as a Christian and following Christ as a disciple and being home with him is dependent upon knowing his will. Knowing what he says is the truth, what is really going on in the world, and what's really going to happen. We got to get it right from his mouth and not what we've heard people say. We're told all sorts of things about who's going to be saved and how they're going to be saved. It's just the chosen. It's just the few. If your name's not the list, you're not going to make it. It's by faith and faith only. If you're saved, you can't be lost. And all sorts of difficult, challenging things. And we're not here to tell you what's right or wrong. We say discard them all and just go to the source. Is that fair? Go to the source. And let Jesus tell you. Because we can know. And so finding faith means we got to go back to the Bible. If you can read it, by all means, believe it. You know, not because you're more smarter than anyone else. It's just because God has told you and you read it and you trust him. And likewise, if you can't read it, you don't have any right to believe it. In other words, if you can't find it in the Bible, where'd you come up with your faith? Is that a fair question? Now, with this, you have a right to challenge me on anything I say. Why? Because if I can't back it up with, here's where it says it in the Bible, and thus says the Lord, and show it to you, then I've made it up, and you need to run. Get away as fast as you can. You can challenge me on anything, and if I get upset or defensive, you know there's something wrong going on here. Because remember the transparency we talked about? I'm here just to present you the God's word, and you don't need to see me, you need to see the word. And I don't want to get in the way of that. Likewise, I have a right to challenge you. When you say something, then we'll do it respectfully, always, right? We'll always have a nice conversation. Like, where did you find that in the Bible? Like, where did Satan come from? People say he's a fallen angel. Do you find that in the Bible? People say, well, what's Satan's name? Well, what is it? No one knows? What's Satan's name? No one knows? Isaiah chapter 14. No one knows? Huh? Beelzebub? Well, it does say that in Matthew. Well, I won't even go there because you guys don't even know. Because it's the wrong answer. So you saved yourself some grief. Search the scriptures daily. Now, you say, well, this is hard. The Bible's hard to understand. Are there hard things in the Bible? Yes. And those who are untrained wrest the scripture and pervert it to lead people astray. You say, well, then why try if it's so difficult? That takes us to this text in Colossians 1, verse 9. I just hope I've impressed upon you the importance of knowledge and knowing it for yourself, because that's the source of your faith. And so Paul in Colossians chapter 1, as he often does in his letters, he starts with a prayer. And notice in verse 3, we thanks God, give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, because we've heard of your faith See, they've been following Jesus, and they have a faith in who Jesus is and his word. And Paul's just thrilled to hear about their faith and the love which you have, he says, for the saints. In verse 4, because the hope is laid up for you in heaven. You know you're going to heaven. If you die on this earth, it just gets better. And he says, in which you previously heard in the word of truth. See, the source of their faith was what? The Bible, or the gospel is from Jesus. And he says, it's not just the gospel that you heard, verse 6, which has come to you and is just as in all the world has been constantly bearing fruit, increasing. So the whole world has heard this, and we get it today ourselves. It's the same gospel that gives us faith and this hope. Now notice verse 9, he zips down to it. So for this reason, in other words, since we heard of your faith, and since you have this love and you have this great hope, since you are now belonging to Christ, we're going to make a prayer for you. He said, we've been praying this prayer over and over and over, Paul says. Timothy with him, if that's who it is, it's in verse 1. We have not ceased to pray for you. That's a daily prayer. Do you think Paul's just being, you know, exaggerated and figurative? No, I think Paul had a heart of prayer and a heart for his brethren that he prayed constantly for them. And when he names what he prays for, you know it's on the highest importance. And it's not an income or a job or safety. What does he pray for? We have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you be filled. That's filled up to the full, to the top of the cup, overflowing. With what? Comfort, strength, riches? No, he says, with the knowledge of his will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Now, we got to stop right there. Because there's our lesson, and we're going to break it down and talk about it. It's all about the success of knowledge. Having the right knowledge will always going to give you the right success that you want. And that's why Paul says, I'm praying for it that you have this. So when you look at the petition of Paul's prayer, it's singularly one thing. I just want you to know and understand what God wants you to do on this earth and what God is going to do and why you were created, why you're here, what's right and wrong. So you don't walk in darkness. You really have your path clearly defined before you and you can follow Jesus. Now, I just have to say, here's a freebie alert. Everyone loves freebies, right? What's a freebie? It's something you just go claim as your own. You just pick it up because people are handing them out. Now, I say this because a lot of people go, oh, learning this is going to be hard and getting knowledge of God's will means I got to study. No, no, you understand. This is freely given to those who ask for it. And so what do you mean? Okay, we're going to have to just pause for a lesson, just a little primer on prayer. There are two types of prayers. There's if it be the Lord's will prayer. And then, since it is the Lord's will prayer. What is that? If it be thy will prayer. Someone's sick in the hospital. Can God heal them? Yes. Will he heal them? I don't know. Does sometimes he allow them to die to go home? Yes, because everyone does die eventually. And if God always answered the prayer, heal my beloved one, no one would ever die, right? You ever think of that? No one would ever die, at least Christians. So we pray that prayer, Lord, if it be thy will, because we don't know the answer. We're just saying, Lord, we know you're God of compassion and you love and prayer moves you. So we're saying, if it be thy will, please. And then we wait and see. That's one type of prayers. Like, give me a job, be thy will. Give me a wife, give me be thy will. You know, let me win the football game, if it be thy will. You didn't pray that, did you? But then there are prayers that say, since I know it's your will. I don't go up and say, God, well, I'm not sure if you want to do this. No, you told me you're going to do this. You told me you were going to give me this. All I got to do is ask. James chapter 1, verse 5, you're familiar with that one? If anyone's lacking wisdom, what is he supposed to do? Let him ask of God who gives freely, but let him ask in faith, not doubting at all. So I don't ask for wisdom. Lord, if it be thy will, give me some. This is one of the prayers that I learned when I was real young, and I don't know why. Maybe someone told me it's a freebie. There's no reason for you to be a fool on this earth. If you're lacking wisdom, what do you got to do? Ask. He might give you trials. He might give you problems to give you wisdom. I don't know how he's going to do it, but you can be guaranteed he's going to give you wisdom. I asked that from a five-year-old on. I'm still learning. And really, if anything, I've learned how much I don't know. This is another freebie. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Does God want us to understand his will? Say yes. Jesus says, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but everyone who does the will of my Father. Does Jesus want you to know his will? Is he going to make it cryptic and hard to understand and something that you got to really mine hard and work and you might figure some of it out? No. This is a freebie. If you want to understand what God wants you to do and understand scripture, all you got to do is what? Ask for it first. Pray this prayer. Paul's praying it. It's a freebie. It's guaranteed you're going to get it. And the reason people walk around ignorant and foolish is because they're not seeking the Lord, seeking his will. And it begins by seeking it in prayer. Now, you said read the Bible. When you know you got something that's available, do you do anything to go get it? Yes. And that's why then we do our part. We do search the scriptures daily. We do long for the pure milk of the world. We do rejoice in it. Like David said, your word is like honey. It's sweeter than the honeycomb. And so we just want to consume it. So we're always going back to it. But yet sometimes it's hard to understand, isn't it? Who's going to fill in the gap? God. So how is he going to do that? Let God be God and let's just keep searching. And you'll understand his will. That's the promise here. It's a freebie. And I just want to encourage you to pray that prayer constantly for yourselves, for your children, for your brethren, one another. But notice it's not just any kind of knowledge. Here he says the word knowledge is this word that means exact knowledge. And we'll talk about how exact it is. But it's not just an awareness and information. It's like, I know what he wants and I know how to do it. And we know that's because he says in all wisdom, spiritual wisdom and understanding. In other words, there's one thing to know about God's word. It's another thing to know how to apply it to your life, okay? And that's why he says, I want you to have this knowledge, be filled with it. And God will answer that prayer because it is his will. It's guaranteed if you do your part. And he'll give it to you with wisdom, and the New American Standard, the older version says, with discernment. So you can make decisions that are sometimes minute, that if you go this way, it's bad. If you go this way, it's right. And that's the kind of wisdom or knowledge we're going to have. One person described this way. Knowledge is knowing a tomato is a fruit. It's not a vegetable, right? You can Google that one too. All right? But wisdom is you don't put tomato in a fruit salad. Just doesn't go, does it? I guess you could. You can do anything. But that's a silly illustration between knowledge and wisdom. Wisdom is how to apply knowledge to your life and every decision you make. So when we look at this word, there's three types of knowledge that the world talks about. Something explicit, implicit, and tacit. You say, well, what's that? Explicit knowledge is knowledge that you can codify or you could write down. So I'll tell them myself. When you get something from Amazon, it's dropped at your door, and it has to be put together, and it always includes an instruction manual. How many of you guys read the instructions, and how many of you just start putting it together? All right. I just try to put it together, and then when it fails, you go out, and you get the explicit knowledge. It's been codified. Steps, instructions, one after another. When you follow them in order, can you generally put the thing together? Yes. That's explicit knowledge. But sometimes you have to have what's called implicit or tacit knowledge. And I'll just skip to tacit. Tacit is more knowledge you get only by personal experience, and it's even hard to express. You have to learn it by your own experience. Now, so the instructions say, tighten the screws, you know, and they'll say a number 3 with a Phillips head screwdriver, and they'll say tighten 4 of those. And so I remember telling my wife, when we first got married, you know, she'd pick up a screw, now, which way do you turn it to tighten? And so it's one thing to have explicit knowledge. Oh, I got to tighten the screws. I don't know how to tighten it. And so she has this little thing, she says, lefty loosey, righty tighty. Turn it to the right to tighten and turn it to the left to loose. And so you know what I end up doing when I'm, because I don't even think about it, but when I'm tightening something over and over, I go lefty loosey, righty tighty, just because it just rings in my head. But see, that's tacit knowledge, when you know how to do something after reading instructions. Because instructions don't tell you how to tighten it. It assumes you already know that. You with me? Same with baking or riding a car or fixing a car or building a house. Most importantly, it's following Jesus. It's one thing to know what he says. It's another thing to know how to do it. And that's what discipleship's all about. Because we're not just listening to Jesus, we watch Jesus. And we watch what he does, and he teaches us how to do it as well. And see, Paul's is praying, I want you to be filled with that knowledge. Not just the information. I want you to know how to live it. I want you to have spiritual wisdom and discernment. And there's great promise attached to that. There's a success that you can't even imagine what it's going to be like. And that's the rest of our lesson. But the verse 9 is the big verse that you got to memorize and just make it your own prayer. Lord, fill me with the knowledge of your will, with all wisdom and understanding. I'm tired of walking blindly. I'm tired of being ignorant. I'm tired of being foolish by walking by my own wisdom. Fill me, Lord. Fill me and trust that he will. And then do your part to search the scriptures, listen to online tapes, you know, come to classes, read the Bible over and over, ask questions, but God will fill in the gaps. You got to trust that he'll do that. What are the blessings that come with it? That's the rest of our lesson, but I got to make this point. You don't know what you don't know. Now, what do I mean by that? A lot of times as we get older, he said, boy, if I knew that when I was younger, I wouldn't have done this or I would have done that. Who has said that? Especially with raising kids. You're like, I don't know what I don't know. Because now I learn it and I wish I could have done it all over again. But you know, you wouldn't have done it any different when you're younger because you didn't know what you didn't know. And so what's the only way to solve that? It's to find out quick, to learn fastly. And not live like, well, I'll just kind of just wing it. That doesn't work with life. You get one shot at it. And a lot of people say, well, I'm a kid. I got, you know, you don't know what you don't know yet. And the more you fill yourself with the knowledge of God's will, the more you realize, wow, I thought I knew something. I realized I knew nothing. And you're more empowered with that knowledge. It gives you the freedom to act with confidence and gives you the direction to do what is right because you know it's always going to turn out. You don't know what you don't know. So notice what Paul says. I want this exact knowledge. You know, Jesus said to this, people that were following him and condemning him. He said, if you had known what this means, and he's going to quote a scripture from Hosea, where he says, I desire mercy or compassion and not sacrifice. God commanded sacrifice, didn't he? There he says, if you would have known what this means, I desire compassion, your Bible might say mercy, rather than sacrifice, you wouldn't have condemned the innocent. And so they're judging people because they don't know scripture. No, they quote it, but they don't understand it. And he said, well, what is he talking about there? That's something we have to look at in another lesson. But false information, knowing, being aware of Scripture, but not how it applies, can cause us to make missteps. So notice the fruit, this key, because what you know affects how you live. And there's a direct relationship between the roots that I spread out, that's the knowledge of God's will, and the fruit my life produces. It's always a one-to-one, that what you know is going to affect what you do, and what you do is the fruit in your life. Now, some of the things I look back, like, man, I wish I never would have done that. But the other things, I thank God because of His leading me, it's always turned out well. And so notice some of this fruit. Now we're in verse 10. And I encourage you to just memorize these things. Because see the word "so that"? That's the result of being filled with a knowledge of God's will. So that. And he's going to list several things that are the fruit of having this knowledge or being filled with the knowledge of God's will. The first one, he says that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Second of all, to please him in all respects. Thirdly, bearing fruit in every good work. Then fourth, just in this one verse alone, you're going to increase in the knowledge of God. So we have to look at all these individually. First of all, it's this idea of walking manner in the word of the Lord. You know, and then to please him in all respects. I appreciated the prayer. We live in an upside down world, don't we? And everything God has done, the world is distorting. And it's confusing to know how to walk and to much less walk in a manner that's worthy of Jesus who we're following. That he looked back and said, yeah, those are my own. Would Jesus name me? Or is he going to depart from me? I don't know you. And a lot of us don't feel worthy. And you can just erase all that ill feeling of unworthiness by being filled with the knowledge of will, because when you know God's will, you'll always walk in a manner that's worthy of him. Where he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And not only that, it's just crazy to think that I could please him. And if we've talked about children, what do they always want to do is please their parents. That's like, watch me, look at me, daddy, daddy, look, 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 look. And are they ever tired of being watched and saying, good job, you know, and we clap for them, even if they failed or not. But God's not going to placate us. He's not just going to compromise. He looks down when he sees us following Jesus and following his will in a manner that's worthy of him. He's pleased with us. And my confidence of going to heaven just grows ever stronger. And that comes with the knowledge of his will. My son had to ask Ann, how old was he when he got all involved in eBay? He was 14. It was 1998. eBay was new on the scene. He's 14-year-old. He has little money. And we just now start having internet, right? And it's really slow. But, Dad, I bought this item on eBay. It's a little vintage computer. It was a Radio Shack Tandy TSR-80. Still remember it. And I go, what are you doing? What's eBay? He said, well, it's this online auction site, and you can bid on things, and then people send you stuff. He said, how do you know you're going to get it? And then I was like, our kid, he's so foolish. He's just going to blow all his money. It's a scam. We got the items in. They were boxed. It was a vintage computer even then. And he resold it on eBay for well over $100. Now, back in 1998, when you're 14-year-old, you sold something for over $100. That's pretty impressive, because his paper route, he made 10 bucks a month or something like that. I don't know. And so us being concerned, like, what is our kid doing? You know, this foolish child, like, 100 bucks? And all you did was buy it and then just flip it? So, yeah, Dad, guess who got on eBay? Been on it ever since. And we became very invested in vintage computers and software that are literally worth thousands of dollars now. But it was knowledge that paved the pathway to success. If you didn't know about the platform, if you didn't know about what the worth of vintage computers and software was, you'd spend your money on worthless stuff. And then the other end, when you knew, you saw bargains that were sold for 10 bucks, you could sell literally for 2,000. That's what we're talking about here. You want to walk worthy? You want to please God? You want to have success in everything you do? It's having an understanding how this all works and what God wants. This is the fruit that it bears. Because notice what he says next, that you're going to walk worthy but bear fruit. And I'll just put it in Jack paraphrase, in everything you do. Because everything you do is being defined by his will. In every good work, the works are going to be good. And what does bear fruit mean? It means, oh, that turned out. That turned out. That turned out too. Wow, that turned out. Your children turn out. Your marriage turns out. Your finances turn out. When you're following God's will, you're bearing fruit in every good work. That's a confidence you can have by just making this prayer your own. Another fruit that falls from that tree is, it's just as important, where he says, we'll be increasing in the knowledge of God. I want to do a lesson, Lord willing, as I continue to come up here. There's a difference between knowing about God and knowing God. And the way I will just briefly introduce that is, when Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant, he was going to put her away because he knew that she had cheated on him. Because he knew that he had never known her. That's what the old King James says, at least. What does that mean? He'd never been personally involved with her sexually. So it wasn't him, so it had to be someone else. Well, that's when God intervened and said, no, she's been impregnated by the Holy Spirit. But that word, he hadn't known her. Did he know who she was? Yeah. He's engaged to her. Does he know what she looks like? Yeah, there's Mary. Does he know something about her personality? Yeah, but he had never known her. It was intimate. Same word that's used here. A lot of people know a lot about God, but they don't know him. Because they've never walked with him. They've never walked with Jesus, his son. They've never put their whole life and trust in him and said, this makes not a lot of sense, but I'm going to do it anyway. And when it works out, you learn something about your God you never knew before. It's not explicit information that's just written down. God is all powerful. God is loving. No, it's something that's tacit. It's very personal because you've walked with God and you felt him walk with you. He said, that's the fruit of being filled with the knowledge of will and following, acting on it. You will increase in the knowledge of knowing who he really is, and having a personal relationship, not just information. And it's a fruit where it's so important because some people are always learning, never coming to a knowledge of the truth or who God is. Notice the next thing, and we'll be strengthened. You know, as you get older, you get weary. Paul says, don't grow weary in well-doing. And Paul only says that because he knows people do, because he did. But there's something that comes with the knowledge of God's will. It strengthens us with power because it gives us confidence. This emboldens us because we know what we're doing is right because God says so, not us. We don't have to figure it out on ourselves. We can just know. And then second of all, in this verse, it gives us steadfastness. I can endure. Because I know the light's going to shine at the end of the storm. In the tunnel, there will be the light at the end of the tunnel. There's always going to be a positive outcome, and so I can be steadfast and endure. See, this power gives me the ability to hang in there. And then I can have patience. And I love this, the third one, or the fourth one. I'm going to have joy. There's a difference between being happy, which is fleeting like the weather. You're happy today, and then tomorrow you're sad because you lost. But joy is enduring. It carries, walks with you every day of your life. It's real. It's real, true happiness because it's from the inside. It's not external. It's internal. It's because of our relationship with God. And see, the knowledge of his will, when you walk worthy of him and you find success in bearing fruit in every good work and you increase in the knowledge of God and you have the steadfastness, patience, there's a joy that comes in your life that you didn't have before. And it's a joy that you'll never get until you're filled with the knowledge of his will and start walking in a manner worthy of him. See, it all builds on itself. And you look for those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's why we say the way of success is the way of continuous pursuit of knowledge. Not, and that's true in the world. It's even more true spiritually as Christians. So I applaud you for being here. I applaud for people that are reading their Bible daily. And more importantly, I applaud you when you start praying this prayer, Lord, fill me with the knowledge of your will, with all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Because you can't live well what you don't know well. Isn't that true? If you don't know how to live, you can't live well. You can't live well or know well what you haven't learned well. And it all starts with an understanding of his will. So the product of Paul's prayer, the produce, look, we have a child that's worthy of him. We have a pleasing child. We have a child that's producing fruit. We have a perceptive child. They're increasing in knowledge. They're a powerful child because they're strengthened with all power. They're a patient child because they have patience and steadfastness. And they're a child that's joyously giving thanks to the Father. They're a praising child. And this kind of child you'd want in your family is doing all these kind of things. That's the kind of child God wants and desires and will make us into be in his family. It all starts with the knowledge of his will. So let's end with a prayer. And I really want to go back to where we started. There are, if it be thy will, prayers, and that's, we pray it still, that we let God answer, yes or no, or maybe later. Then there are, if it, since it is your will, prayer. And this is one of those, since it is your will. And so, while I lead it, we're all praying together, aren't we? And we have to substitute this pronouns with a personal first-person pronoun, Lord, bless me. Make it your prayer and pray it for your others. You can say bless them or you or your husband or your children. But for our matter, we're going to just pray this prayer in the first person because that's really where it starts, doesn't it? And at the end, since we're praying together, let's all say together, amen. Shall we pray? Jehovah, our Heavenly Father, we stand in awe of who you are, and we're so amazed that you have spoken to us through your word. We're amazed at your love that you sent your son, not only so we could be adopted into your family, but that he could lead us home to you, because we know that in Jesus, we're all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He is the way, the true way, the living way, and no man can come to you but through him. So, Lord, we want to please you. We want to walk worthy of you. And so we pray this prayer with all the faith that we can muster. And we're going to ask you kindly, Lord, that you will fill us. You fill me with the knowledge of your will, with all wisdom and understanding, so that we collectively and each of us individually can walk in a manner worthy of you, so we can please you in every respect. And Lord, that we can bear fruit in every good work that you have given us to do. And Lord, that we can increase in just knowing how great thou art. And Lord, so we can also be strengthened with power, so we can be steadfast and patient, and we can be filled with joy as we walk this earth in a dark and dying earth, and we can truly be a light. Lord, we give thanks to you because you have qualified us to share in this inheritance of the saints of light, and we thank you for the great hope we have, and we thank you all mostly for Jesus who made it possible. In his name, we utter this prayer to you. Amen. If you're with us and you said, well, I need to start following Jesus, the time is right now. We're going to sing a song, and it's all to encourage those whose life's not right with God, who've never become a Christian, or as a Christian, just need the prayers of the saints. Let's stand and sing. There's a fountain free for you and me.